Welcome to the Calvary St. George's Sermon Podcast, proclaiming the historic faith of Christ and Him crucified. These podcasts are recorded and produced by the Parish of Calvary St. George's in the city of New York. For more information, head to calvarystgeorges.org.
A very warm welcome to you to Calvary St. George's as we begin our season of stewardship today. About a month ago, I was speaking with a newcomer who had just watched Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, you know, the HBO news show that comes on. And on that particular episode, we had both seen it. I saw it via the internet, but she had watched the actual episode. Oliver chastised and made fun of what is called the prosperity gospel and their health and wealth preachers and the lavish lifestyles they lead. And we were talking about this and about the show and laughing together. And then she said, out of the blue, "I'm so glad you never talk about money at Calvary St. George's." To which I replied, "Ha, ha, ha, wait till October." And so I'm just going to lay my cards on the table. We're going to talk about money in October, but not because we want to buy a jet. You know, I'd love one, but we are not going to buy a jet. We're talking about money because for the proclamation of the gospel. And we need to raise $519,000, a 6% increase over last year, in order to meet our budgetary needs for 2016. And your pledge, and that is why you have to get it in early. You can take it to the newcomers table or put it in the plate. But your pledge, and it's there in that bulletin, helps us craft the ministry budget for 2016. And all of the budget of your pledge goes to ministry. And so our stewardship campaign this year is I Am Calvary St. George's, and we're going to be doing a sermon series on some of the I Am statements of Jesus found in the Gospel of John. And it's a holistic approach because we're not only just talking about treasure, but we're talking about time and talent and getting involved in a devotion group, ushering, whatever it is. But the whole point of this series is to remind us that by grace, all that we have actually comes from God, and we see that in the I Am statements. And all that we have comes from God so that He might use us unlikely people, you and me, for the sake of the gospel. That's why our gospel reading was chosen today. It illustrates this very idea. Jesus' encounter with a Samaritan woman. I mean, she was the definition of unlikely. First, she's a woman. And there in Jesus' day, you just didn't go up and have a conversation with a woman. You didn't speak to a woman unless she was your wife or a direct relative. Second, she was a Samaritan. She was, according to the Jews of the first century, a heretic half-breed, a descendant of religious and ethnic sellouts. And as a Jew, you had no dealings with Samaritans, and in return, the Samaritans had no dealings with the Jews. And then finally, to quote that great country song from the 70s, I forgot who sings it, but she was looking for love in all the wrong places. You know, and she was living with a man, number six, and so, you know, just failed relationship after failed relationship, and so there wouldn't even be Samaritans who would have anything to do with her today. In those days, she was the definition of an unlikely person, and hence she's drawing up water in the middle of the day, not in the cool of the morning or the cool of the evening. She's there by herself. She's scandalous. And this is my first point. This is actually how God works. Of all the people in the world, He hides Himself from the religious of Jerusalem. Of all the people, even in Samaria, even the good religious Samaritans, Jesus chose a woman with a shady past and a scandalous present to reveal Himself to. And He not only reveals Himself to her, but He forgives her. And then, if you read on in the chapter, I mean, she's really like one of the first apostles. He commissions her and sends her out. She gives all that she has in order to convert her village. He sends out this unlikely person for the sake of the gospel. Now, more on that in a moment. because there is actually so much one could preach about from this passage. But I want to focus on, and if you'll take a look at it with me, I want to focus in on Jesus' statement to this unlikely person, where he says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Could you imagine what ran through her head when she heard those words? Jesus, as we will see with bread next week when Ben preaches, is using water to teach about the gift of himself for us. And he's contrasting water here. Well water versus living water. Water that doesn't quench your thirst versus water that does. If you've ever been to a third world country, if you watched Mad Max Fury Road last summer, you appreciate just how important water is. I guess I was the only one who watched it, but anyway, like four times. But if you've ever been to a third world country, like, you know, in Mexico, you have to work for water, for clean water. When you're in Africa, clean water is hard work. You got to go to the river, you got to pull it out, then you got to boil it, and then you got to put the oxygen back in it, and then you got to boil it again. And by the time you're finished with all of that, you're thirsty. And then you got to go do it again tomorrow. I mean, even when you think about the pipes, we have to work for water too. I mean, we think it's just turning on a faucet, but you got to pay the water bill. But in most of the world, and I'd even say here, you still have to work for water. You have to earn it. And water is hard work in order to drink it. And there's no end to our work, nor is there any end to our thirst. And this is my second point. This is also how the law works. This is how bad religion works. It promises to quench your thirst for righteousness. You know, just do these social things. Just do these pious things. The law promises that if you do these things, everything will go great and you'll be a good person. And just when everything seems to be going saintly and your pious and holy meters are running high, you get into an argument with your spouse. You yell at your kid. You have an inappropriate thought. You get a little nervous around a colleague or a boss and you tell a little white lie. Or like me, you flip everyone off on the 6 train who stands in the door and won't move into the aisle, making you late for an appointment because it's impossible to get on that train. Literally happened this week. But the thirst for righteousness is a thirst that the law cannot quench. It's a thirst that bad religion cannot quench. And like work always makes you thirsty for water, commandment keeping before God in the end only leaves you parched and dried out before him. It ruins you. One of the most powerful things about this encounter is that despite, and you notice the woman, she immediately, you a Jew are talking to me, a Samaritan woman. I mean, she's putting up walls and boundaries before Jesus. But nevertheless, he still diagnoses her. He still keeps pressing in. You know, we talk about pressing into God. No, he presses into us. He presses on us. And so he's still there and he diagnoses her as one who, despite the well water, is still thirsty. Who, despite her walls and boundaries, is a sinner. This is very powerful. I mean, maybe you've been to the doctor. There is something immensely frightening and or freeing about being diagnosed properly. I mean, it's terrifying. But there's freedom there as well. It's terrifying because you realize how weak you actually are. But then there's freeing because there might be a cure. And this is powerful. But the problem is, spiritually speaking, the cure taught and the cure offered in religion, especially bad religion, is often wrong. It is Jesus in the law alone. Yes, yes, spiritually speaking, you are thirsty. I totally get it. And you know, but when it comes to God, you must quench your own thirst. Or when it comes to God, you must partner with him to quench your own thirst. I'm not sure which is worse. But it's a bad diagnosis, and it's not the cure. And this is why stewardship is so important at Calvary St. George's. Is because we are asking you to join us in the proclamation of the good news, not the bad news of go get your own water, but the good news of the gospel in the city. Water freely given, living water. At Calvary St. George's, you see, we have come to understand that all of us are unlikely people. That we all, because of circumstances and things in life, have built up walls and boundaries. And we are more like that Samaritan woman than we'd care to admit. That we are on our own thirsty. And we know and we can relate to and understand that there are many in this city that are in the same place. Yet the cure for spiritual thirst is never the law, but rather the gospel alone. The good news of Jesus' blood shed for sinners that fills the baptismal fonts of the church with water made living by the promise of God that declares God in Jesus does not come to shame you or condemn you or even now have you try and go get your own water. Rather, God in Jesus has redeemed your past, has redeemed your present, and has redeemed and has a glorious future for you, even beyond the grave. That in that living water, he has covered you with his righteousness, making you holy with his holiness. And that despite your struggles, Jesus, through water, that living water, has rescued you from the wilderness of sin and death and the fear of being eternally an outcast and an unlikely person. And this is my third point. Indeed, you and I are unlikely people. But because of the gospel, you and I are also now declared saints. And Jesus is not ashamed of you. You are sons and daughters of God. And you are sons and daughters of God no longer defined by the unsatisfactory well waters of our past, the unsatisfactory well waters of our desires, our actions, our ethnicities, our labels, but rather defined by the one who has died for you, the one who is risen for you, and the one who is coming again for you. And in that living water that was poured over your head and reminded at you over every time we gathered around this altar, you have been given a promise of favor and redemption. A promise of favor and redemption in that word, water. And as I just said, we'll experience in bread and wine. When you take that in your hand, know that you are favored and loved by God.
Thank you for listening to our sermon podcast, produced and recorded at the parish of Calvary St. George's in the city of New York. If you feel led to support the continuing ministry of the parish, you can make an online donation at calvarystgeorges.org/giving. Thank you.